Good morning, George Watkins is here again, and I'm glad to see you. This is Thursday. It's going to prove to be a God day. I speak it, and I declare it, and I encourage you as you step into it. Thursday's a good day to be alive. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about things of God. Before I do that, thank you for your subscriptions and the things that you do to help us move forward. Your prayers especially. And your encouraging words are like prayers at times. As I hear them, they build me in the faith. They encourage me. Your comments and the notes you send and all the things you do to encourage us, I thank you for it and bless you back. Now, the subject today is no more memory of sin. Now, the phrase more commonly known is sin consciousness. No sin consciousness. To be conscious or aware or carry the feeling of or under the burden of, and in most cases, the guilt of sin. Okay. Now, I've been in church all my life. I have known Jesus most of my life. Got saved at 7 when I made the confession that I believed in Christ, and we became partners. Now, the revelation of that has been a process. Revelation usually comes layer upon layer in many cases, especially if you're in the company of people that are not revelatory, not hearing anything that's new or different. We call it the orthodoxy. You know, the orthodoxy means that everybody's believing the same, thinking the same, saying the same, and there's no change. Well, sounds a little bit like what we're dealing with in this crazy season we're in our nation. They want us to say the right words or we lose our job. Say the right words or you get the social media going after you until they run you out of town. If you don't say that about certain things, then you are not in the group. Well, the church can do the same thing. I remember in the 70s when the message of faith, as we, you know, the short term was faith message. And it really revolved around a change and a revolution of how we approach God, how we believe God, how we saw things, and so forth. Well, didn't take too long for some of the less than spiritual people to get into a mechanical mode. And they begin to judge you if you didn't say the right things at the right time. And they accused you of not having faith. Well, be that as it may, that's an example of trying to be like the crowd. Well, to be like the crowd in some of our past is that we had to admit every day that we are sinners, just saved by grace, and in some subliminal way, it taught us. Now, I'm speaking from experience, folks. I was raised up in this. Somehow it taught us that we were just lucky to be in, so don't push it. You know what I mean? And we're hanging on by our fingernails. And if we burped at the wrong time, God's going to kick us out quick. Well, we lived like that quite a bit of our life. So every night we repented of sin. Even if we didn't sin, we had to kind of repent, you know, like credit or something. Make something up. I had one of the little boys in the church when I was pastoring, little guy about 6 or 7, I suppose, he would come up every Sunday to the altar, and he wanted me to pray for him. And then he would start looking for something to pray for. He'd check around, find a scratch or a bump, you know, some kind of bruise. And he'd say, then he'd hold it up to me. He had to find something to pray for. Well, I think we do that. I make the joke, and it's not too far from being funny, that I got saved 400 times. Well, in the thinking, that's what we thought. We had to get saved again. Because once we committed an infraction, which had to do with breaking the rules or saying a wrong word or having an evil thought, so forth. When we did that, we were removed from the chart. I mean, our name was wiped out, and we had to go back to the end of the line and start over again. So I did. I got saved quite a few times in that mentality, that thought pattern. Oh, no wonder. A lot of my friends just gave up. They decided just to stay out. If they're going to be kicked out every time they burped or every time they stumbled out of the family, out of the sonship, then goodbye. Somehow God put a hook in me, and I got past that mess and found out that I was the righteousness of God in Christ. And I didn't have to be embarrassed. If I stumbled, I'm still a son. I'm a son of his love, and he's never going to give up on me. And so because I knew that, I come back in. Now, John said in 1 John, he said, look, don't sin. But if you do, you have a advocate, a righteous advocate. And if he is faithful, if you repent, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So unrighteousness is something that is against the righteousness. All right, let's go over that again. Repent. I've been telling you in these last few months, especially, that repent is not, I'm sorry for stealing the candy bar and kicking the dog. I'm sorry for the, no, it's, I'm going to go back to the place that God put me, and that's at the top. I'm a son. So when I come to God and I have a repentant heart, means I have a change of mind now. The scripture says that the Spirit of God is the only one that can draw us. So when I have a prick in my consciousness, that means the Spirit of God's telling me, look, I need to come back into the face of the Father. I need to come back into the Father's house, into his throne room, into his presence, and make it right. Now, how do you make it right? Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Please make me one of thy servants. Like, just make me a servant. Now, that's the prodigal's prayer, but it's not a good prayer. He was repentant and he was sorrowful, yes, but he wanted to go back to slavery. He wanted to put himself in the back of the line. But when he got to the gate, the Father had already pre-prepared. Yes, that's a double word. Prepared. Just to make it more bigger emphasis, pre-prepared. He had the calf, he had the robe, he had the ring, he had the party. It was going. It was ready to rock and roll. Why? Because he knew he was coming home. He was coming home because that's how the Holy Spirit does it. He draws us back home. Amen. Well, so then I come back to God. I repent. That means I come back into the right mind, the right thinking. I am a son. I'm not a sinner. I am a son. Wait a minute now. You sin, that makes you a sinner. No, it doesn't. It makes me a son that needs to have my robe adjusted and my ring back. I'm still a son. I got some pig stains on me, but I'm still a son. And that righteous robe goes back around me because John said, he's faithful and just to forgive and put that robe in its rightful place. Adjust that robe again. Amen. I'm convinced in the journey I've been on that your mind is one of your greatest enemies. This is why we're to have the mind of Christ. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8 in the Mirror Bible. Look at this. Now the decisive conclusion. This is one of my favorites in the King James. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, and so forth. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. What in the world does that mean? That means I'm free. Well, how come it feels like I got a ball and chain around my consciousness and around my emotions? I can remember the day I sinned and I still feel the pain. Come on. What is faith all about except believing what you hear from God? Jesus said, if you believe, you shall receive. So you say, but what about the feelings? What about the guilt? What about the, you know, the memory and the pictures? Holy Spirit knows how to wash that away by the living word of God. Oh, my goodness. You get enough Jesus, you can't remember. You can't remember the former days. Okay. Now, the decisive conclusion is this. In Christ, every bit of condemning evidence against us is canceled. Now, there's no sin consciousness. No sin consciousness. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, were slaves in their minds for most of their life. They never quite got over it. It had to be a new generation that were raised up, and the old generation died off. That's why Psalms 90 says that he would give them 70 years, if by not grace or mercy, you know, 80. But they all died off so that they could go into Canaan land with a new mind. Those that were born in that period of wilderness travel, they weren't slaves. They were free people. So they went in, but the only way they could get rid of that slave mind was God had to kill them. Well, what does the scripture say about dying with Christ? When Christ died, we died. That means the old man is dead, and the sins that old man was involved in are gone. I owe money, I'm gone. They can't collect it. Well, they might collect it from my heirs, but that's another legal story. We won't go there. Okay. Now, look at Colossians 2. In dying our death, he deleted the detailed handwriting. King James says the handwriting of ordinance. Now, here's what that was. When you sat in court or stood in court, there was a stenographer or secretary that sat there, and the judgments that came to you, he's a thief, he's a killer, he's a robber, he's a fornicator, all those things were written down and put into the ledger of crimes against you, and you either got hung by the neck or put in jail. That was the handwriting of ordinance against you. Now look what this says. He says he's deleted the handwriting, the handwritten record of Adam's fall. Adam's fall. We blame a lot on the fact that Adam fell. So we talk about our bodies falling apart and the fact that, you know, we tend to lie or steal, or we just tend to be doubtful, and we tend to be mean. Well, you know, after all, the whole human race has fallen. Listen, he wipe that handwriting out against you, and your DNA is changed because you've got the Father's blood flowing through you. When Jesus came in, he made you a new creature with new blood. You have a new blood system, and the Father's blood is perfect, and so is the Son's blood. I love that. Oh, I love that. I'm telling you, folks, stop living in the past. Start living in the present future. I love that, present future, because the today goes on into the future. Amen. Okay. Philippians 2:6. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Whoa. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Where's that put me? I'm supposed to be like Christ. I'm supposed to be in his image. I'm supposed to be like him. But if he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, no wonder 1 John 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect, because as he is, so are we in this world. Oh, well, the preacher, we can pray for the sick, and we can, you know, we can sing songs, and we can prophesy, and someday go to heaven. But to be like Jesus? Oh, no, no, no. There's only one Jesus. Says who? Says who? You're listening to the wrong people. There's a whole world full of Jesuses. Because I'm just like him. When I look at Jesus, I see me. He's the mirror image of me, because I have his righteousness. I have his name. Crying out loud, I've taken all of his stuff and put it on me. I'm called a son. And because of that, the Bible says I'm seated in heavenly places. Whoa, I'm already seated next to him on a seat of authority in the heavenly rulership of heaven's glory. Wow. Okay, well, that's my message today. No more memory of sin. Oh, my. Some of the testimonies we've heard. I remember one young guy gave his testimony, spent 20 minutes on all the cruel, mean, dirty, ugly things he did. And he said, oh, by the way, I got saved. Whoa. And they write books about what crooks they were and what, you know, how bad they were. Oh, yeah, by the way, I got saved. Okay. I get the point. You're testifying that if God could save me as rotten as I was, he can save you. But don't live there. Don't go there. You are born by the blood, redeemed into eternal life, and you have the righteousness of Christ. So live like it. Get your mind straightened around to believe what God says about you. Amen. Well, amen. I've blown my gaskets today, and I want to put the punch in your life and stir your faith up. This is a good day to be alive. Hallelujah. Lord, make it real in the reality of daily walking it out. Every day, let it be a greater revelation in Jesus' name. Okay. Well, thank you for all the good things that you have done in subscribing, sharing, thumbs up, comments, all those good things. Thank you for that. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial blessing, write down the show notes. We have a PayPal or our address. And we receive it with thanksgiving and pray over it and bless you back. And thank you for it. Okay. Tomorrow is, Friday? Hey, my favorite day of the week. We will see you in the morning preparing for a Father's Day weekend. Father's Day weekend. Amen. I just had flashbacks. My daddy's face just flashed before me with a lot of great memories. All right. I will see you in the morning. Until then, be blessed. Be encouraged. Be who God says you are.